Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, February 1st, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we are still in the doctrine of freedom, one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18 sounds like this in corrected translation. Now the Lord is the Spirit. This is one of the few passages that teaches the deity of God the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is spiritual freedom. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Well, this brought us to the doctrine of freedom, and we're not going to review everything that's been taught in the last couple of weeks, but a quick summary of some of the points. We've studied the first 11 points of the doctrine of freedom. Point one, there are two categories of freedom. Human freedom, which may also be called establishment freedom, and spiritual freedom. Point two, there are also two categories of spiritual freedom. Positional freedom, which is union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit as salvation, and experiential freedom, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the church age believer as the base of operations to be filled with the Spirit and to benefit from the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. This is the freedom to be transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. Then point three was the principle of human freedom. Human freedom is legitimate self-determination. Human freedom is related to privacy, property, life, and authority. And therefore, it emphasizes the need for understanding the laws of divine establishment, which define legitimate authority, designed for the protection of human freedom. Human freedom always demands that the individuals under it have their privacy. There are two enemies of human freedom to the nation, and to today, the client nation of God, the United States. There is an internal enemy of human freedom, and that is criminality. Now, the laws of divine establishment demand law enforcement, and the greatest deterrent to capital crime is capital punishment. And then the external enemy of human freedom are other nations, power nations, who attack and seek to destroy freedom-loving nations. Point four, freedom as a heritage of physical birth. By the sovereign will of God, mankind was created with a volition. You have a free will as a part of your soul. In fact, the most precious attribute in your soul is your volition, and the byproduct of self-determination. Because you have a volition, you are free to make decisions. And this is why we are here. We are here to make decisions. Through freedom, we can make right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, or wrong decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you exercise your freedom to make right decisions, you increase your options. However, when you exercise your freedom to make wrong decisions, you will eventually run out of options. That brought us to point five, spiritual freedom. And there are two categories of spiritual freedom. Positional freedom, union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit as salvation. And experiential freedom, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:1 combines both categories of spiritual freedom. For freedom, that is for the advantage of experiential freedom, Christ caused us to be set free. Positional freedom. Therefore, stand firm in that experiential freedom and stop being held in again or subjected again to a yoke of slavery, Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So in Galatians 5:1, we have both categories of spiritual freedom taught, both positional freedom and union with Christ and experiential freedom to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. That brought us to point six, the spiritual function of freedom. Positive volition can function in three ways under God's plan of grace. First of all, in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, in rebound by acknowledgement of our personal sins, where the justice of God is free to forgive us and to enter us back into fellowship with Him, the filling of the Spirit and our spiritual life. And third, positive volition to the teaching of the Word of God in order that we might advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. That brought us to point seven, the relationship of freedom to responsibility. Freedom demands responsibility. We are free, but we are not irresponsibly free. All people have a responsibility to obey the laws of establishment. Morality is the human safeguard for freedom. And then point eight, the relationship of freedom to maturity. The adult individual must be free to make his own decisions, whether they are right or wrong. And therefore, he must take the responsibility for all of his decisions. A person is not mature until he is able to take the responsibility for his own decisions on a consistent basis. And that brought us to point nine, the relationship of freedom to sin. All sin, whether it's known or unknown sin, involves the function of human volition. Ignorance is no excuse. Whether you knew it was a sin or not, you still wanted to do it, and therefore you and you alone are responsible for your own sins. You have no right to ever blame your failures on anyone else. In fact, criminals are criminals because of the decisions of their own volition to violate the law and then try to get away with it. The old sin nature never functions apart from total agreement of human free will. Your volition to say yes to temptation from the sin nature results in the production of personal sin. And that brought us to point 10. Freedom is not free. First of all, human freedom is not free. Human freedom is purchased on battlefields through military victory. Our human freedom cost the lives of many visible heroes. And secondly, spiritual freedom is not free. Spiritual freedom is free to the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Positional freedom in union with Christ, Galatians 3:26-28. Redemption, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit, to live the spiritual life, 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. However, while this freedom is free to us, it costs God a great price. Our spiritual freedom costs God the Father, His eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. It costs God the Son the price of substitutionary atonement and being judged for the sins of the world. Our spiritual freedom was purchased by the blood of Christ. Spiritual freedom is free to us because the Lord Jesus Christ picked up the tab at the cross. That brought us to point 11. Freedom and the virtue of the spiritual life, or the Royal Family Honor Code. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring volition. God is resolving the angelic conflict by allowing man, like the angels, to make free will decisions. And God never coerces our free will. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring privacy. God has provided the principle of the privacy of the royal priesthood. We each represent ourselves before the Lord. Through the privacy of the priesthood, we have the right to live our own lives as unto the Lord. We acknowledge our own sins unto God the Father in the privacy of our priesthood. We learn Bible doctrine in the privacy of a local church we assemble as faces in a crowd. And the royal family honor code protects freedom by honoring property. No local church, no religious organization or individual is ever authorized to interfere with your property in any way. All spiritual giving, whether of your time, your money, or your service, is always a matter of grace and free will. It is never a matter of coercion. All that we have and all that we are has been given to us by the grace and power of God. And what you do with that grace provision is totally up to your free will decisions and motivation from the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart. And the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring authority. Authority is defined in many areas of life in the laws of divine establishment. Parents have authority over children. The husband has authority over the wife. Employer over the employee. Military and law enforcement is the higher rank. The coach over the athlete. The teacher over the student. The Royal Family Honor Code demands that we orient to authority in each of these areas by developing genuine humility. In addition, there is spiritual authority, the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the divinely delegated authority of the pastor teacher in the church age, who communicates the Word of God. Under the Royal Family Honor Code, the believer respects and submits to the authority of the pastor teacher as the communicator of Bible doctrine and the policy maker of the local church. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. Now that brings us to point 12. And I promise you tonight we will finish the doctrine of freedom. But this is one of the most important doctrines you can know and learn and apply to your life. Point 12, the cycle of freedom in a client nation. And you can see this with regard to the United States of America as a client nation to God. The cycle of freedom in a client nation. First of all, one, you have the struggle for freedom. You have the struggle for freedom. Two, then you attain freedom. Three, then you develop capacity for freedom. Four, then you possess great prosperity from freedom. And now that's where the test begins. Point five. Now you have the prosperity test. The United States of America, the client nation to God, had gone through all these first four steps, and then came to point five, the great prosperity test. We have had great prosperity in the United States of America, and it serves as a prosperity test. Six, if you fail the prosperity test, well now, greed, arrogance, seeking security, then the result is you forget your freedom and you wind up losing your freedom. If you fail the prosperity test, through arrogance, greed, seeking security. The result is you forget your freedom and wind up losing your freedom. And that's happening in America today. In all different areas. When I was in high school, looking forward to going to college, my father couldn't afford to send any of me or my brothers to college. He told us that. But by the grace of God, I got a full scholarship to Washington State University in track and field. My brother Don got a full scholarship to Washington State University in football. My brother Mike got a scholarship to Spokane Community College in track and field. And Dad didn't have, he couldn't afford to send any of us. Well, I felt like I was blessed out of my tree. I got to go to college for 4 years, and it was all paid for. And I thought, what a fantastic blessing this is. And it was a blessing for my family. And I never, ever thought that the school should pay me, that they should pay me money to go and turn out for track or football. Now they have NIL in sports. And athletes are saying, I'll come to your school if you give me $300,000. One idiot told the football coach, you pay me $15 million and I'll come to your school. I'll play football for you. What in the hell? Who does? Well, let me get back to this. $15 million. And they said they would. And so he got there. And then after came time, he said, where's my $15 million? And he said, well, we can't give you $15 million. Well, I'm going to another college and play football. Now, the guy I like is Saban at Alabama. One guy on the team said, I want you to give me $300,000 to play football at Alabama. And he said, here, you go somewhere else. You're no longer on our team. And then another guy came. I want not only money for me, but for my girlfriend, too. And he said, here, you go somewhere else. You're no longer on the team at Alabama. That's great. There's one coach that has it straight. You're a student. You know, you might be playing football. You might be running track. You might be playing basketball. But you're a student in a college. Supposedly, you're getting an education for something to do the rest of your life. And you go to college for that. And there was always a loyalty. All of us at the time, nobody ever thought about getting, there was no transfer portal. If you're not going to pay me this much money, or I'm not going to start, then I'm going to get in the transfer portal and go somewhere else. Those things never entered our minds. I had a fantastic track coach, Jack Mooberry, been at Washington State University for years and years, and he actually taught at my high school, John Rogers High School in Spokane. In fact, we held the Mooberry relays at John Rogers High School and brought high school team from all over the Northwest there for the Mooberry Relays. He was a fantastic man. And they didn't have a lot of money in the track and field department and athletics. I was the first athlete who ever got a full scholarship in track and field at WSU. And he was an honorable man. That was the time in the 60s. Long hair, anti-war movement, all these things going on. You wear jeans and a t-shirt and something like that to class. Well, Coach Mooberry said, all right, we're going to the University of Washington for a track meet. You will all wear slacks, the Cougar blazer, and a tie. The whole team will wear slacks, gray slacks, Cougar blazer, and a tie. And we would stop halfway over to the University of Washington, Seattle, and have something to eat. We come in, and our waitress came up to Coach Mooberry, and she says, where is the choir going to be singing? I mean, Mr. Mooberry thought that was, what a compliment. He goes, ma'am, this is the Washington State University track and field team. And we're going over to Seattle to beat the patootie off those Huskies. But he was so proud of that. Well, he followed those kinds of guidelines. And I loved him as a dad. And I gave him the gospel. Many, many times I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was always looking out for me. He respected me, he loved me, I respected him and loved him. In fact, he's the one, and I've never heard this from a track coach anywhere. I've never heard of a track coach or any kind of a coach to try to be a matchmaker with one of his athletes, hook him up with a woman. I was working out. I was the only one left on the field working out. And he said, Ole, come here. I want you to go into the ticket office. Check out the gal behind there in the ticket office. Well, it was Debbie. He was playing matchmaker. He loved Debbie. He loved me. He was trying to play matchmaker and get us together. Well, I went in and looked at this gal behind the ticket office, and she goes, can I help you? I go, whatever you're selling, I'll buy some. I went back out and told Coach Mooberry, I said, she is beautiful. But Coach, you're playing matchmaker. You're trying to get me hooked up here. Well, he was pretty close. Here she is. But we never thought that we deserved, just because we were at that school, we should be paid thousands and thousands of dollars. Or millions of dollars just to attend that school. But what if we flunked the prosperity test? We as a nation have the prosperity test. If you fail the prosperity test with arrogance and greed or seeking security, the result is you forget your freedom and you wind up losing your freedom. 7. If you pass the prosperity test and continue to adhere to truth, Truth in all three categories, establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth, then you will maintain your freedom. Well, if you pass the prosperity test and continue to adhere to truth, the truth of the Word of God, all three categories, establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth, then you will maintain your freedom. That brings us to point 13, freedom and equality. Freedom and equality. The real issue in life is not equality, but freedom. If you have a choice between freedom and equality, always choose freedom. Equality is not an asset in Cosmos Diabolicus. On the other hand, freedom is always an asset. It is always a virtue. So freedom and equality. One, the only place where equality is an asset is in union with Jesus Christ, where every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life and glorify God. The only place where equality is an asset is in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, our positional sanctification in Christ, where every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life and glorify God. Every church-age believer has God's imputed righteousness as well as sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ in union with Him. Every believer has the gift of eternal life as well as sharing the eternal life of Jesus Christ being in union with Him. We have a double portion of imputed righteousness and eternal life. Every believer has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. Every church-age believer has the unique spiritual life. So the only place where equality is an asset is in union with Christ, where every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life and glorify God. Two, union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, the moment of our faith in Christ, is the only place where equality and freedom are found together. Union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, that moment of faith in Christ, is the only place where equality and freedom are found together. Three, the reason that equality hooks up with freedom in union with Christ is because positional freedom is the only category of freedom that is eternal and can never be lost. The reason that equality hooks up with freedom in union with Christ is because positional freedom is the only category of freedom that is eternal and can never be lost. Four, positional freedom is the only freedom that is not maintained by your free will decisions. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only freedom that is not maintained by your free will decisions. Now that is in contrast with human freedom, which is maintained by making right decisions to adhere to the laws of divine establishment. And this is in contrast to experiential freedom, which is maintained by making right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So five, But positional freedom is not maintained by our free will decisions. But positional freedom is not maintained by our free will decisions. It's eternal. 6, in other words, we cannot become more saved or less saved by any decisions we make after our faith in Christ. And therefore, in union with Christ's positional freedom, we have true equality. So in other words, we cannot become more saved nor less saved by any decisions we make after faith in Christ. Positional freedom is not maintained by our free will decisions. 7, the only place where equality can hook up with freedom is where the freedom is eternal, where it cannot be lost, where it is not maintained or altered by our free will decisions. So the only place where equality can hook up with freedom is where that freedom is eternal, where it cannot be lost, where it is not maintained or altered by our free will decisions. 8, human freedom and experiential freedom are not eternal. Human freedom and experiential freedom are not eternal. They can be maintained or lost by our free will decisions. So human freedom and experiential freedom, they are not eternal. They can be maintained or lost by our own free will decisions. 9, outside of union with Christ, positional freedom, equality is the policy of Satan. It is the device of the arrogant and the disoriented. Outside of union with Christ, positional freedom, equality is the policy of Satan. It is the device of the arrogant and the disoriented. 10, all Satan can produce is equality minus freedom. And what does he call that? Forced equality. All Satan can produce is equality minus freedom, which is forced equality. 11, forced equality is tyranny. And this is what's going on in the United States of America as we speak. Communism is forced equality, tyranny. Socialism is forced equality, tyranny. The welfare state is forced equality, is tyranny. We have every time, and crime is going up, up, up everywhere in this country, especially on the left coast, not the west coast, the left coast. Washington, Oregon, California, horrible. And crime goes up and up and up, and somebody kills somebody every day in crime. So what do the socialists and the liberals and our government do? Gun control, forced equality, taking the gun from everybody. That's what we're going to do. Forced equality. None of you will have. Now, gun control. The only people that you are hurting are law-abiding citizens. Because criminals will always have guns. They will break the law. It's called lawless. That's why they're criminals. The law doesn't mean anything to criminals. They will always have guns. They will break the law. The only people you're taking the gun from are law-abiding citizens. They're trying to protect their family, their wives, their children, their business, whatever it is. Gun control is forced equality. It's tyranny. And it does not stop crime. We, instead of defunding the police, law enforcement, why, we should be increasing in our funding of the law enforcement police. They put their lives on the line 24/7. And right now, Satan's attack is on law enforcement. Back in the Vietnam War, Satan's attack was on the military. Attack the military. All of the marching and everything going on was against the military. Now it's attacking law enforcement. And I have a back the blue sign that I put in my yard. Somebody stole it one time, but we have a police officer living there, and he came and he said, "What happened to your back the blue sign? Somebody stole it." He said, "Well, that's a crime." He said, "You need to have law enforcement come out here. That's a crime. They should be held responsible." I said, "Oh, I agree." I said, "I was thinking of putting bungee stakes out there, like maybe a little, instead of cameras, machine guns up there." Just kidding. Gun control, forced equality, tyranny. Increased federal control, forced equality, tyranny. Forced equality is tyranny, and it is the foundation of Satan's cosmic system. 12. Outside of union with Christ, positional truth, freedom hooks up with inequality. Freedom means there will be inequality. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. The most important thing we can have in this country is freedom. Freedom to succeed, freedom to fail. Freedom to work your patootie off, or if you want to do nothing, well then you want to the government to give you a handout. But you're free to succeed, free to fail. So outside of union with Christ, positional truth, freedom hooks up with inequality. 13, freedom guarantees inequality through self-determination. Freedom guarantees inequality through self-determination. So here you are. You're free. You have a volition, positive and negative. You're free to make good decisions, positive. You're free to make bad decisions, negative. And there's great inequality. You're the product of your own decisions. The most important thing is freedom. Now, what you do with that freedom is up to you. You're free to make good decisions. You're free to make bad decisions. And in between, you have great winners up here. And you have losers here. And everything in between. Freedom guarantees inequality through self-determination. All right. So 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 sounds like this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's spiritual freedom. But we all, royal family of God and the church age, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19, from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. And there, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is in the can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 was an awesome chapter. I'm sure you would all vote for that. Wait till you see 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a more awesome chapter. Wait till we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a superabundant chapter. It just keeps going. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. And I'm currently in my studies in chapter 5. And it just knocks my socks off. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, by way of introduction. Second Corinthians 4, the first paragraph is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7. And that is, the spiritual life operates by divine power. Now, we had the spiritual life in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. And now, in this first paragraph, the spiritual life operates by divine power. I'm going to give you the corrected translation of this first paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. It'll sound like this. It starts out in verse 1, because of this. Because of this is referring to 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, the end of chapter 3. So because of this, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, since we keep on having this ministry, just as we have received mercy, grace in action, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living or walking in the sphere of deception, the cosmic system serving our own ends, nor falsifying or distorting the word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth, the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. And in fact, if our gospel, the grace gospel, is being hidden, first class condition, and it is being hidden to the ones who are perishing. Verse 4, in whose case, unbelievers who are perishing, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers for the purpose that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. Verse 5, indeed, we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves or servants because of Jesus. Verse 6, because the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who commanded light shine out of the darkness, he is the one who is shown in our hearts for the purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We possess this treasure in earthen vessels, this little puny human body, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. So, by way of introduction, one, the spiritual life, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, can only be lived by the surpassing greatness of the power of God, 2 Corinthians 4:7. The spiritual life, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, can only be lived by the surpassing greatness of the power of God, 2 Corinthians 4:7. It can only be lived by the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. It can only be lived by the power of the Word of God in your heart, metabolized doctrine in the heart, 1 Peter 1:22. Two, you cannot live the spiritual life by human power. You can't live this unique spiritual life by the power of the flesh, the sin nature. You cannot live this unique spiritual life by living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Three, 2 Corinthians emphasizes the unique ministry of the spiritual life for the royal family of God. We are a royal family of God. There's never been a dispensation like the church age. This is the greatest dispensation in human history. There's never been at any time in human history where every single believer is entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And because we are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, we have been made royal family of God. Now, there was regeneration throughout human history and family of God, but there was never royal family of God, because this is the only dispensation where every believer is baptized into union with Jesus Christ, with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. This is the only dispensation where every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life. And it was never given in any other time in human history. First time this unique spiritual life was given was to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to each one of us, royal family of God in the church age. So three, the second Corinthians emphasizes the unique ministry of the spiritual life for the royal family of God. Four, this ministry is glorious, first of all, because of the certain triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. This ministry is glorious, first of all, because of the certain triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, in union with Christ, and who makes known the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ, by the agency of us in every place. And five, this ministry is also glorious because of the transforming work of God the Holy Spirit. This ministry is also glorious because of the transforming work of God the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So this ministry is also glorious because of the transforming work of God the Holy Spirit. Six, the ministry of the unique spiritual life includes suffering for blessing. And the next paragraph in 2 Corinthians 4 will teach this. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12. And hold your horses. We'll get there in just a moment. We'll take a look at it. But the ministry of the unique spiritual life includes suffering for blessing. And that's the next paragraph in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12. 7. In this first paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, Paul is not only referring to his apostolic ministry and the ministry of God's faithful communicators, but he is also including the ministry of the entire royal family of God. You see, this is the only dispensation where every single one of you, you're in full-time Christian service. The entire royal family of God, we are in full-time Christian service. So point eight, every church-age believer is in full-time Christian service. We are all royal priests representing ourselves before the Lord. We are all royal ambassadors representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So every church age believer is in full-time Christian service. 9. Paul describes the suffering for blessing he has received in his apostolic ministry in the next paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12. Paul describes the suffering for blessing he has received in his apostolic ministry in the next paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12. So let me give you the corrected translation of what that is like. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are afflicted, oppressed in every way. But we absolutely are not crushed. We have great inner pressures in our soul, but we are not totally despairing. We are persecuted, but we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, suffering for blessing of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be manifested in our body. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, the danger of death, suffering for blessing, for Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, verse 12, death, the dangers of death, suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, spiritual life, in you. Well, that's the second paragraph of chapter 4. 10. In our passage, the first paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, he declares what sustained him, namely, the surpassing greatness of the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. In our passage, the first paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, he declares what sustained him, namely the surpassing greatness of the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. 11. The ministry of the unique spiritual life given to every church age believer can only be executed by the grace and power of God. The ministry of the unique spiritual life given to every church age believer can only be executed by the grace and the power of God. All right, there's our introduction to the next chapter. I told you this chapter is going to be awesome. And then, wait till we finish that. The next one is, well, you know, it's kind of like huper ek perisu. Perisu abundantly, ek perisu super abundantly, huper ek perisu super abundantly. And that's just dealing with your respect and submission to the communication of the Word of God by the pastor teacher. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.